I'd like to read a scripture that may be very familiar to some of you, and it's in the Acts of the Apostles, and it's chapter 16, and that's page 1327 in my Bible. And if I could start by reading from verse 12, it's actually 1326, yes. And thence to Philippi, which is the first city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city certain days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate by the river, where it was the custom for prayer to be, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had assembled, and a certain woman by name Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God, heard, whose heart the Lord opened to attend to the things spoken by Paul. And when she had been baptized in her house, she besought her, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. And it came to pass as we were going to prayer that a certain female slave, having a spirit of Python, met us, who brought much profit to her masters by prophesying. She, having followed Paul and us, cried, saying, "These men are bondmen of the Most High God, who announced to you the way of salvation." And this she did many days. And Paul, being distressed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I enjoin thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out the same hour. And her masters, seeing that the hope of their gains was gone, having seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the market before the magistrates. And having brought them up to the praetors, said, "These men utterly trouble our city, being Jews, and announce customs which is not lawful for us to receive, nor practice, being Romans." And the crowds rose up too against them, and the praetors, having torn off their clothes, commanded to scourge them, and having laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, cast them into the inner prison, and secured their feet to the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas were praising God with singing, and the prisoners listened to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison shook, and all the doors were immediately opened, and the bonds of all loosed. And the jailer, being awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the doors of the prison opened, having drawn a sword, was going to kill himself, thinking the prisoners had fled. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And having asked for lights, he rushed in, and trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, and leading them out, says, "Sirs, what must I do that I may be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house." And they spoke to him the word of the Lord with all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed them from their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And having brought them into his house, he laid the table for them, and rejoiced with all his house, having believed in God. What a wonderful story this is. We've heard it many times. I'm sure we've all heard this someone speak about this, and some of you, no doubt, have preached about it over the years. Now, I just want to tell you, first of all, you boys, you're taught geography at school, so that tells us about where we live. And you live in Scotland, which is part of the United Kingdom. And the United Kingdom is part of a continent called Europe. And this is a wonderful moment because the gospel travelled from Turkey, from what's called, in those days, Asia Minor. It came into Europe. And through God's mercy, it's come to us now. Do you know, the Bible, when we read the Bible, it's in English. Now, Zach, you were reading this morning very nicely from the Bible. Do you know, that's only possible because someone first put the Bible together in 1535, so nearly 500 years ago. But before that, it was in Latin. It was only a few people could read it. I don't know if you've ever tried reading Latin. I was taught Latin at school, a very difficult language. Not an easy thing. You wouldn't pick up a book and enjoy reading it. Well, some people might, but not me. And it was difficult. It wasn't available. We take these things for granted. The Bible's available. We can read what God has actually got to say to us. It's a wonderful thing, wonderful gift of God, that there have been men and women who've suffered that we should have a Bible in our hands. And this story, and it's not a story that's made up, it actually happened. The Apostle Paul was directed by the Spirit of God. He'd have thought, well, it would have been a great thing to keep preaching where he was. No, God had in mind that he should go to this town called Philippi, which today is in Greece. I mean, it's just remains. If you go there, there's just some remains. But it was in Greece. And so he took this journey. And it's an amazing thing when you look at it. He went across the sea. And it took them there in a remarkably quick time because God was behind what they were doing. And they arrived there and took... We were staying in that city certain days. And then the first thing they came across was this lady called Lydia. In the gospel, what you find in the gospel hall is you find that there are people with all different backgrounds. You find that in this account, there are two people that believed in Jesus. And they believed in Jesus for a long time, Paul and Silas. And there are people like that. And you know, when I preach the gospel, I don't preach, don't speak very well about Jesus. Who would claim to speak well about Lord Jesus? You look around, you see people smiling. You say, well, they've been Christians. They love to hear about Jesus. And there are people that, they're sort of crowds and people in the back. Sometimes you see people that they're not sure. They're sort of looking at you. And you don't know what's going on, but God does. And then there are people that are in outright opposition. And there's what's evil. And not often in a gospel hall, but certainly out in the street, that's what you'll find. And you'll find in Britain, there are people like that. So the picture of these people that we see, Lydia and the apostles, and this woman with a spirit, and those in prison, that's a picture of the present day. It's no different today. Well, first of all, we read about Lydia. I didn't really want to speak about her, but she's a marvellous person in the scripture. She was someone who God opened their heart. That's why we pray. We pray that God might open people's hearts to hear the things about Jesus, that they might not just be something they hear in their ears, but come into their heart. So they become convinced that they're loved by the eternal God and by his Son, the Lord Jesus, who he sent into the world to die. You know, you and I, we think about living, don't we? We're not here to think about dying, are we? But Jesus, every day he took him closer to Calvary's cross. He knew why he was here. He knew what he'd been asked to do by his God. And every day took him closer to the cross. And you think about it, it tells us in Matthew's gospel, it tells us about in contemplating the cross, it says about him becoming deeply depressed. Why was that? The Lord knew that going on the cross meant he would suffer physically, not just physically from the hands of man, but he'd suffer the wrath of God and he'd be forsaken. And for someone who had such a close relationship with his God to be forsaken, to be left all on his own, you and I have never been left on our own like that in our life. Never. And never will be. Jesus was forsaken of God. He was left on his own on the cross. Yes, there were people there, but his God, in those 3 hours of darkness, he was forsaken of God that you might come into blessing, that you might be happy and that you might be at peace and that you might know that God has nothing against you, that he's not going to be your judge and judge you and put you in hell and eternal torment. But instead, he wants you in his presence, in his house, to know to be one of his children and to bless you with his love. I sometimes think we can scarcely understand how much blessing God has in mind for us. The day will declare it. There's a day coming when we'll understand fully God's love for us in eternity. It's going to be absolutely wonderful. Have you got that hope in your heart? Well, Paul went, and then there's this opposition. So first of all, it seemed very good. The work was going on. There was Lydia, and she was praying, and there was a blessing. And then there was a woman who had a spirit of Python. Now, you know, boys, I'm not going to talk about that because we don't want to get our minds filled with what is evil. But there's a lot of evil in the world.
There are people motivated by Satan today doing things that are wrong, wicked. You need to see the wars in Ukraine to see the depravity of man away from God. If you think about the days before the flood and the earth was full of violence, you can only imagine what's going to happen when the Holy Spirit is gone. There's no constraint on men. They just will just do in their most evil, wicked deeds, and you see a glimpse of it today. How shocking that will be. How thankful we should be for the Holy Spirit who restrains in the world today. And I think about the evil. This woman had a spirit of Python, wicked spirit. And, you know, what she did was, it was pretense. It sounded all right, didn't it? These are bondmen of the Most High God. There are things that sound all right in the world. They sound all right, and they're not. They're from beneath. And Paul eventually, he just said what it was. He just saw for what it was. It was wicked. And he called it out and he said, he was distressed. I enjoin thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. She was blessed. Lydia was blessed. And then this woman was blessed. She was freed from this wicked spirit. But then there were people that made money out of her. Do you know, in the town, nearby town where I live, there's the people telling fortunes, people making money out of what is wicked. And there are people that are then cross. They were losing their money. The world's full of people after money. And so what they did is they took Paul and Silas. They treated them as second-class citizens. They treated them not as if they were Romans, where they had certain rights and things. And then they beat them. And they didn't. They beat them probably without mercy. Yeah, people are cruel. Jesus was beaten. Jesus had a crown of thorns put on his head. And his hands that had tended to the leper and held the blind man and put the child, held the child on it, in the midst, his hands had nails put through them on Calvary's cross. How cruel men and women are away from God. How cruel, how wicked, how terrible. Violence of man. Jesus was lifted up to hang from his hands with his feet nailed to the cross. And these Paul and Silas, they were just beaten. Not any comparison with what happened to Jesus, but they suffered because of the name of the Lord. And they were put in prison. And then they were put in stocks. And stocks are so you can't move your legs. And you get terrible cramp. And you think of the pain of that. You think of the pain of that. And yet, at midnight, and you remember this morning, we were talking about the Lord Jesus available at night time to Nicodemus and to the woman by the well in the middle of the day, available to you 24 hours a day. One of you said this morning, I heard one of you boys say, I wake up and I worry about ghosts and spiders. Do you know what? If you ever have that, the answer to that is to pray. Talk to the Lord Jesus. It will take away the ghosts and the spiders out of your mind. It's available all through the night and all through the day. And at midnight, you might have thought they were exhausted, absolutely pain racking their bodies. They were praising God. What a miracle that is. And you know, if you think this is all in the past, let me tell you, I know of someone that was in a prison and he heard the people singing in the chapel. And it went along the drain pipes and down into his cell, and it brought him to the Lord. People being changed today, today. When I was 20, I was going across to my wife. Before I was married, I was going to her parents for lunch on Christmas Day. And some of you will know where I lived in London, a busy road, but it was Christmas Day, the road, there was no one in the street. And I came out of my house and went out to my car. There was a man the other side of the road, a young man. He said, "Oi, mate." I sort of looked up. People, they shout at you in the street in London. It makes you nervous, you know. He said, "Oi, mate." I said, "I better go across and see him." So I walked. I said, "Can I help you?" He said, "When does the church open?" The church, there's a big church across the road. Well, I said, I don't know. He says, "Because I want to go and praise God." I said, "Oh, very good, that's good." He goes, "I was in prison and I found the Lord in prison. I want to praise God." It's happening today. People in prison. To captives, deliverance people, whether they're in physical prison or they're in a moral prison, was it captured by sin? The Lord came to preach to captives deliverance. He to set the captives free. There are people in Britain that think they've got freedom, but they're captives. They're captives to their sin and to their way of life and to their lust and their greed or their gambling or their drinking, all kinds of things. They're captive. They don't realize it, which is why the gospel's preached. And they were singing. And then God intervened in a most amazing way. You think about this, it tells us they were singing and suddenly there was a great earthquake. You think about this earthquake that killed no one. Amazing thing, isn't it? A great earthquake, but everything didn't fall down on them and they're all crushed. No, no, no. It was an earthquake of deliverance. And you know, I pray that there might be an earthquake of deliverance in your life if you don't know Jesus. It might turn you over. It might stop you in your tracks so that the Lord might enter your heart. What happened with the jailer in those days, if the prisoners escaped, the jailer was in a lot of trouble and he could lose his life. And so he ran forward and he came and he said these words, these wonderful words that we may have heard so many times in the preaching. He said here this... His words, he said, he came down to them and he said, what shall I do? What must I do that I may be saved? Now, some people say, well, he didn't say he was a sinner, and he did, but he did it in his actions. He came trembling. He realized he had come to the end of himself. And that's the gospel, that you might come to the end of yourself, your own endeavors. This man realized he hadn't got the answers. And that's a blessing of the gospel, the blessing of the Holy Spirit, to bring conviction that you, dear friend, don't know, have the answers to your eternal salvation, but God does. God has the answer. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he said, Paul said, do thyself no harm. We're all here. Prisoners hadn't run away. You know, Nat, that must be an extraordinary thing. The doors of the prison were opened here in the Peterhead prison. Oh, I don't know if it's still open, but there used to be a big, fierce prison up in Peterhead, and there's lots of prisons. There's a prison near where I live. If the prison doors were open, people would just, what we'd say is, do a runner. They'd run. They'd run off and disappear. But this was a miracle of God's grace, and the gospel's a miracle of God's grace. It changed people from running away. Stop where they were. And there was this wonderful blessing. What must I do? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. You know, I just say to you boys, I've taken a lot of words to say what's in one sentence. The gospel is very short. You know, there was a general who was in charge of all the chaplains in the army many years ago. And when he interviewed men who wanted to be chaplains, do you know what he did? He said, I want to see, you've got 3 minutes on the battlefield for a man that's injured and maybe losing his life. Can you preach the gospel in 3 minutes? And that was his interview. Could you convey God's love in 3 minutes? Paul did it in a few seconds. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. You'll be saved. That's the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus. Don't believe on the preacher. Don't follow a creed. No need to sort of do revision like an exam. Put your life in the Lord's hands. Commit to him. Just pray to him where you are. You don't have to wait another week or do something in a few years' time. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be standing here. I absolutely believe it because I found it to be true for myself, and I found other people who all say it's true and you'll be saved. Sometimes you might have doubts in your life. It doesn't change the fact you're saved. Because once you become a Christian, you know, sometimes the devil attacks you and puts all sorts of strange things in your head and you hear all sorts of stuff and you worry about stuff. It doesn't change the fact that you're saved. The precious blood of Jesus
God is satisfied with it. The hymn writer said, God is satisfied with Jesus. We are satisfied as well. Satisfied with his precious blood, his work on Calvary's cross, it's complete. Never to be done again. God looks at that moment in time and he's satisfied. And he's satisfied with everyone who trusts in the work of Jesus and his precious blood. And then just to finish, I'm not going to speak for much more. It says here, they spoke to him the word of the Lord with all that were in his house. You know, when you come to the Lord, I came to the Lord, as I told some of you yesterday when I was 8, I didn't know very much. I didn't know very much at all. But then there are people that speak to you the word of the Lord. And that's what many in this room have done. Men and women helped their children, their grandchildren, other people to understand the word of the Lord, to unfold to them. There is a man and woman in the scripture unfolded to a man called Apollos, explained the truth more exactly so he might be grounded. Most important that you as a Christian are grounded, that you understand things. I didn't read it today, but you know, there's a verse in Hebrews. You know, my children went to school and they taught all sorts of things about evolution, all sorts of things, and they're all puzzling. And I said, you don't need to worry about any of that. Just go to the beginning of Hebrews and it says, we believe, it's a matter of faith, the worlds were formed, framed by the word of God. My father said to me, you know, son, over many years, theories about the world and evolution, they change. There's different theories every 10 years. You don't need to worry about that. Step away from it. Just believe what God says about it. My wife, we used to worry about people called Jehovah's Witnesses coming to the door. They were full of, you know, they go through the Old Testament and they all sort of clever things they said. And she said, I don't know how to answer their questions. They're quite well versed in the scripture. And I said to her, you know what? A man in John 9, he had lots of clever questions. And he just said, one thing I know. Being blind before, now I see. You can say whatever you want. I know I'm different. You don't need to worry about clever questions. But it is good to be versed in the word and to be helped. And then there was this wonderful blessing. He took them the same hour of the night, washed them from their stripes, was baptized all his straightway, brought them into his house, laid the table for them, and rejoiced with all his house. He wasn't just a man that was saved, he was converted. He was a man that had a different outlook. The effect of the Lord in his life was he was completely different. No, a man that had been beating was a man that was washing, soothing. A man that was providing food at his table. You know, it's a great thing to be a Christian. To have a change in outlook. Not to be like everyone else. God wants to work in our hearts that we're more like Jesus. We're more like his son while we're here. And that when we come to be him, it won't be some, we're not embarrassed when we go into heaven. Yes, we're all failures and we all often offend. But we should desire to be like his son because Jesus has given his life for us. He's loved us. He's gone into death for us. He's broken its power, terrifying power, you know, the thought of death. You know, that he's broken its power. I was thinking about that today, you know, whatever you think of it, my son has been on parade today in Bristol for Remembrance Sunday. And people remember the people that died. And in particular, the Second World War. And the people that started that war, many of them ended up in prison and they were judged. And they were found guilty. And there was a man called Henry Garak. And he spoke to them about Jesus. And a number of them turned and gave their life to the Lord. Men like von Ribbentrop, responsible for dreadful things. And when he was put to death, last thing he said to the pastor was, I'll see you again. See him in heaven. You know, it's an amazing thing. You know, God's grace is wonderful. And it's hard to understand.
You know, when Henry Garrett died in 1961, his son was going through his papers and found lots and lots of mail from people that said were abusive towards him because they didn't think such men should be saved. Some people find grace hard to understand. We all do. But you know, I'm a triumph of God's grace, and there are many in this room who are as well. And we just think we're just sinners saved by grace. We don't think we're great people. We're sinners saved by grace. And the praise and glory is to him who's rescued us, redeemed us, made us suitable for God's presence. And you know, one day he's going to call us. I'll just finish with a little story. I was preaching many years ago, and David knows he was there. There were three girls at the back. And I was talking about the coming of the Lord and your name being written in the book of life. And this girl said, she put her hand up. I said, what's your question? And she said, well, there's more than one Simon in the world. How do you know it's when God calls, it will be you? And I just said, you know, I know. I can't explain it, but I know. Yes, 'twas for me. It was for me. I know that. May you know that certainty. May God give you the gift of faith. May he give you the joy of trusting in his son. May you have the hope of his coming for his name's sake.